The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Karen Overgaard of KNIA Radio in Knoxville and Maureen Olson of the Neola Gazette. The first question will come from KNIA's Karen.
Thank you very much for participating.
Thank you. Can you talk to us briefly about your position on the FCC and net neutrality?
Yes. The only thing is I can give you my views, but they don't mean much because this is going to be a decision made just by the FCC. Congress isn't going to intervene. In fact, there were attempts to pass net neutrality before in Congress, and they never got very far. So in the final analysis, it's up to the FCC, and they've had a hard time getting it by this. They've been very, the FCC has had twice now been overruled by Circuit Court of Appeals here in D.C., saying that they went, they did something that they didn't have the authority to do. So, and then now they're trying once again, but they've run up against the same interest groups that want net neutrality. Those groups now are mad at the FCC because they're writing it the way they want it, whereas if they wrote it the way the groups that want neutrality wanted it, the courts twice have said they didn't have the authority to do it. So I don't anticipate Congress changing the law, and I think it's very difficult to say whether or not a new approach by the FCC will get through the courts, but it's not in the realm of Congress at this point. Let's go to Maureen.
May is National Foster Care Month, and you're co-chair of the Caucus on Foster Care. What single issue would you like people to be more aware of in the foster care programs?
Well, the best way to answer your question is to go to the young people who are in foster care, who we make a point of at least once a year, and maybe it's even twice a year, of having a forum of these young people, and going a long time before we even set up this caucus. I got involved in foster care legislation, and just talking to the young people that go from maybe over the course of a school year to two or three different foster care homes, the message I get from them is that they'd like to have a mom and dad, they'd like to have a permanent home. So, you know, what they're really saying, they want stability and they want permanence. And I guess that would be the message to people that are interested in adopting, to think in terms of adopting foster care kids because they'd like to have a home. Now, I do feel that emphasis upon where kids should be placed should be to have them with whether in foster care or for adoption, with relatives. Well, first of all, their birth home, if that's a safe place for them to be, a sound place for them to be, that's number one. Second would be some relatives of a sort that would either have them under their care or adoption. But when you get beyond that and get beyond family, these kids tell us they want a home. And that's what we're trying to promote. You can't make a lot of policy in Washington that brings that about, but we have passed some legislation in the last, I should say maybe the last 30 years. We tried to correct some of it 10, 12 years ago, and I think we did some good, but not entirely good. But there was a perverse incentive in the money that went from the federal government to the states to encourage states to build up a lot of foster care kids, because the more foster care kids they had, the more money the state got. That incentive retarded adoption. We've turned that around to some extent, so we got adoptions way up and the number of foster kids down, but still not good enough yet. And I'll tell you, just this very morning, I had a chance to work with, listen to Casey Foundation people, and I won't go into who the Casey Foundation people are, but they have a lot of money to help out foster care. and that's their concentration. We're working on legislation, hopefully before the end of the year, that'll take some of those further incentives out. Back to Karen.
One final question, Senator. Republicans are bringing up Hillary Clinton's age as an issue as she's considering running for president. Do you think that that is an issue?
Absolutely not. What needs to be an issue, whether you're 40 years old or 80 years old, is what's your health? Can you do the job? Physically and mentally, and there's nothing I know about Hillary Clinton, although I don't want to see her president, but there's nothing about Hillary Clinton that would keep me from saying, or that would cause me to say, that she isn't mentally or physically qualified to be president of the United States. Now, in the process, you know, I'm a great guy. You've heard me talk about transparency. I think when candidates for president have physicals, that the public ought to know the results of those physicals. So you know for sure. And any person that doesn't have any problems should, or even if you do have problems and you want to be president of the United States, you should believe in that sort of transparency. Maureen?
You and Senator Al Franken have come forth with some proposed legislation to make it easier for college-bound students to understand college costs. Could you address that, please?
Yes. You know, if we got 3,000 universities and colleges and community colleges, and we may even have more than that, I don't have an exact number, but you probably got 3,000 different ways that they write you a letter and say, this is what it's going to cost you to go to college. So you compare the letter from Grinnell with the college with Cornell, or Upper Iowa with, let's say, Iowa Wesleyan. What do you know? In other words, it's like comparing apples and oranges. So what the senator from Minnesota and I are trying to do is allow you to compare apples with apples. We have a form so that the bottom line of it is, if it costs you $25,000 a year to go to college, that $25,000 at one college is the same as a bottom line figure at another college. And then people aren't going to pick their college just on cost. They're going to want to know the results of the college. Can you get a job? Can you major in what you want to major in? Do they have a good reputation? But whatever other things are more nebulous, we ought to be able to have a quantifiable figure for comparison purposes, so you know what it's going to cost you. Karen, did you say you didn't have another question?
I do not.
Okay, Maureen, would you like another question?
Certainly. The Republican primary and Democrat and the primaries in Iowa are interesting this year. It'll be the first Senate seat that has not been
First open Senate seat is
an incumbent.
Yeah.
For quite some time.
40 years.
A long time.
Yeah.
And, Mike, I'd basically like your perspective on that.
Well, my perspective is that, first of all, we got 5 good Republican candidates. Any one of them would be a good U.S. senator. And I think that they would all have a voting record that's dramatically opposed to the Democratic candidate. And I think the Democratic candidate has a record of voting in a particular way that I think is not good for our country. So I hope we have a chance to have a Republican colleague. Thank you very much, Karen and Maureen, for participating in today's public affairs program. This is Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.